Thank you so much for joining us online today at Christ Covenant Church. We hope you sense God's presence and are encouraged by the message. Now, here's Pastor Ryan Weems.
If you got a copy of the scriptures, reach for your Bible right now, and we're going to be in 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. For those that are brand new, we do Bible study every single week, so bring a Bible with you. If you don't have one today, the words will be on the screen, but bring one with you. Grab something at home as well, maybe a Bible app. Now, 1 John, for those that are brand new to the Bible, like, it's easy to confuse it for John, one of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but 1 John is different from John. And so the easiest way to find 1 John is go to the end of the Bible, Revelation, then go backwards. And you'll see Jude, then you'll see 3 John, 2 John, then 1 John. So 1 John chapter 4, and we're going to start in verse 16, and we're going to read a little bit today, and we're going to study, and God's going to do a great work just like he did in first service. 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 16, here's what it says. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. That's one of the best sentences in the Bible. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Some of y'all heard that in weddings. You didn't even know it was in the Bible. It's in the Bible, man. It's so good. Perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment, but the one who fears is not made perfect in love. Verse 19, we love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command. So it is not a suggestion. Take note of that. It's a command. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. Now move with me to chapter 5. Let's read a few more verses. 1 John chapter 5, starting in verse 1. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. I want you to bow your heads with me. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the great theology found in these chapters specifically, as we learn and we study who you are and what you're all about, God. And so I pray for the first timer, I pray for the seasoned saint and everybody in between, Lord, that we would all lean in today to get every ounce, every drop that we can from your holy word. And we know this, what you say about your word, that your word does not return void. And so there's power in your word. Your word is already anointed. And so we pray, God, that you'd help us to grow. Like we say all the time around here, we don't just read the word, we want to react to the word. We want to apply it to our lives. We believe it is relevant today in our culture and in our time. And so, God, we give you glory, we give you thanks, we give you honor, and we're excited for what you're going to do in our lives. And we ask all of this in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You know, as just being a pastor now for over a decade, I get the honor to be a part of a lot of really cool things. And a lot of people complain about being a pastor, and it's got its difficulties, but there's some really good things about it. And one of the great things about being a pastor is I get invited in to be a part of people's big days in their life. And one of those big days is the wedding day. And so I love officiating people's weddings, and I did that in Dallas where I'm from, and I've done it the last 4 years. In fact, there's people here in this service today that have officiated your wedding, and it's an exciting thing. And if you're getting married, I'd love to officiate your wedding. Like, don't feel weird or awkward. Like, ask. I would love to be a part of that. But you do need to know that I've got one rule before I'll say yes to officiating someone's wedding, and the rule is this, that the couple, they have to take premarital counseling classes with me. And some of you are thinking, well, why in the world does he do that? Here's why. Think about your car. How many of y'all know when the four wheels fall off, you got to take it in to get it repaired? But how many of you also know it's better to rotate the tires and make sure they're filled up and you're plugging the holes before they fall off? Can I get a witness? Like you need to do some pre-maintenance. Like, it's good to change the oil in your car. It's good to get it checked out and inspected before you buy. And so I make sure that we go through some premarital counseling lessons. And one of the lessons that we do together, I think it's lesson two, is we go through the love languages. In fact, there's five love languages. And I'm curious, who here has like heard about the love languages? Would you let me know? Okay, a decent amount of you. A lot of people in first service as well had heard about them. The love languages came about in the 1990s, which, believe it or not, that's over 30 years ago. Don't you feel old? Like, that's a long time ago. And so in the 90s, this book came out, this doctor, and he gave us the five love languages. And here's what the five love languages are. It's how you give love or care for someone, and also how you like to receive love or care. And it's a fun exercise. And just kind of pro tip, if you're married, you need to know what your spouse's love languages are, okay? So you take some good notes today. There'll be a quiz after the service, right? Like, make sure that you know. Here's the five. And right away, you're going to know yours, but you need to know theirs if you're married. The first love language is quality time. Quality time. So not quantity, quality. This is spending good time together. The second one is receiving gifts. Now, they don't have to be expensive, but they can be expensive, all right? That's number two. Number three is words of affirmation. Number four is acts of service. And then number five is physical touch. Now, of course, that can be sexual, but doesn't have to be. And so those are the five love languages. And some people are all about love languages. Other people could care less. I'm kind of in the middle. And I think it's at least a good exercise to know what your top two are. And if you're married, to know what their top two are. So again, ask them after the service if you're married and you don't know. Now, for a lot of couples, and this is why I do this in the premarital counseling, for a lot of couples, they know their own love language, but they don't know their future spouse's love language. In fact, a lot of couples, they like to love their spouse in the way that they like to receive love and not how their spouse likes to receive love. So it's important to know. Now, for me and my wife was in first service, so she's not in this service, so that gives me permission to say whatever I want to say, okay? And so you just buckle up. But she gives me notes after the services sometimes. Hey, you shouldn't have said that. Thanks, babe. Love you. Anyways, and so in this service, I'll be a little bit more free-spirited, but I got my top two, and they're different from Isabel, my wife's top two. My top two are physical touch and words of affirmation. And so when I'm around Isabel, I like to be lovey-dovey, and I want to be kissing and hugging, and I want everybody to know she is taken. She's mine. She's not yours. And not only that, but I like to whisper sweet nothings to my bride. And I got all kinds of nicknames for blueberry pie. I mean, all kinds of stuff. Like, I know, like, that's gross and it's awkward on your side, but I don't care. And that's how I like to receive love, but oftentimes that's the kind of love that I'll give to my wife. Now, her list, her top two are different. Her top two are acts of service and quality time. And so for my wife, Isabel, like, she loves the affection and all the sweet words, all that kind of stuff, but she would much rather me serve her. Like, she would much rather me get my butt in the kitchen and do some dishes. Like, I'm just letting you know, husbands, listen up, take it from me. My wife's told me this on many occasions. There is nothing sexier than a man doing the dishes. Like, just nothing. I thought I would have got some more amens from the ladies that are married, but I'm just trying to help you out. I want to be your friend. But like, she's like, clean up the house. That's what's sexy to me. And so she acts as service. She wants me to play with her hair, give her a shoulder massage, you know, all that kind of stuff. That's her love language, but also quality time. Now, we're coming up, I've told you this, we're coming up on 10 years of marriage this summer, a decade of love, and I've learned some things that quality time is not us sitting on the couch watching a football game together. I've learned that. Some of you are like, it took you this long. Yes, it took me this long to figure that out. She wants to have that quality time where we talk. How was your day? How are you doing? She's a stay-at-home mom with three young kids, and so she wants to talk to a grown-up for a little bit, you know, like have some adult conversation. So what I'm trying to get across is that, like, my top two love languages are a lot different than her top two. And so we both got to be careful not to love or care for the other person how we want to receive love, but how they best receive love. And the reason why I bring up all of this is because as I read 1 John chapter 4 and 1 John chapter 5, I really think this is what John is doing, not when it comes to our horizontal relationships, but our vertical relationship with God. Here's what I mean by that. John is making it crystal clear how God loves us and also how God wants to receive our love. And really, he's answering this question. Would you write this down? Like, take notes in church. You'll get extra bonus points in heaven, okay? Like, just take notes. I don't have any authority for that. But anyways, like, take some notes. But here's the question God is answering for us that John's helping us. What is God's love language? How does God love you? And how does God want to receive your love? And that leads me to the first point. Number one, we find out in the text that God's love is what completes us. Like, y'all gonna help me preach today real quiet in this service. Like, amen me sometimes, okay? Help a brother out. It gets lonely up here, all right? Like, y'all don't just sit there. No. Come on, let's engage in the message. Thank you so much. I'll pay you later. But, like, help me out, you know? But God's love is what completes us. And so I just need to let you know, single or married, that no man, no woman was ever meant to complete you. God is the one that completes you. In fact, there's this urban legend out there, and we learn this from movies and songs, all this kind of stuff, that like, if I can just find my soulmate, then I'll finally be complete. And that is a lie. That I don't care if you're married, like, that is a lie. No spouse, no kid was ever meant to complete you. Think about it logically. If somebody completed you here on earth, it'd be like one half empty person looking and it's, oh, one out of 8 billion or everything. Like, that's not great odds, you know? Well, if I finally find that one person, then my half empty and their half empty will finally be complete. That is ridiculous. That's not how it works. You can be single and still be whole. Can I get an amen from somebody? You can be married. You can be with kids, without kids. Like, it's not about somebody completing you. And as I wrote down that first observation, that God's love is what completes us this past week, it made me think about that old movie, Jerry Maguire. Has anybody seen that movie? Come on, all the sinners, you know? Okay, you've seen that movie? I'm kidding, my hand's up, I've seen it too. If you haven't seen the movie, don't see it. There's some really bad stuff in there. I'm not saying it's okay, but you could Google, kind of YouTube search this scene I'm about to talk about. But there's a scene at the end of Jerry Maguire, very famous. A lot of memes came off of Tom Cruise in this scene. But you've got Tom Cruise in the movie and Renee Zellweger. And Tom Cruise, he busts into Renee Zellweger's house and he is intense. Like it's very end of the movie. It's emotional. He's serious. And here's what he says. You complete me. You complete me. And then Renee Zellweger, she looks back and she's like, shut up. Just shut up. You know, like the ugly cry, you know, talking about just, you had me at hello. That was pretty good, wasn't it? I thought that was pretty good. Hey, I'll take the fake applause. That's cool. I'll take whatever you give me. But like, it's this like powerful scene. And I'm telling, like, just look it up on you. Like, it is powerful. But how many of y'all know that's not real life? In fact, it shouldn't be. Real life. You can be complete and be single at the same time. You can be complete and not have kids at the same time. You don't need any man or woman to complete you. In fact, there is a God-designed empty space in our hearts that only God can fill. And so you got to realize what John is saying about God. He's saying God's love is enough. Can I get an amen from somebody? He is enough. You don't need any man, anyone, any relationship to, well, I'm just not complete. No, you can be complete right in the season that you find yourself in. Here's the second thing John teaches us about God. This is so important, so theologically sound. There's so much good theology, the study of God in these chapters. But here's number two. Your relationships will never be whole if your relationship with God is broken. Like, I hope y'all gonna let me preach today. But if your relationship with God, like if it's not whole, then you can, or if it's broken, you won't have any wholeness or any good. Like I'm telling you, the vertical affects the horizontal. And so often, here's what happens, is we blame all our issues on our spouse. Pastor, if he could just put the toilet seat lid back down, I've told him for years. Pastor, if she would just stop nagging me so much and just let me be a man, you know, like Pastor, if they would just behave, then our relationship with Pastor, they got some issues. Pastor, they need to be me. It shouldn't be me. Meet with you, Pastor. You need to have a meeting with them. They got, well, so often what we do is we blame all our issues on the other person, that they're the problem. Pastor, my boss is the problem. Pastor, my kids, I think they're demon-possessed. They're the problem. Pastor, that person is the problem. Why not look at your relationships differently, friend, that maybe they're not the problem. Maybe your relationship with God is actually the solution. And what happens is that we focus on the horizontal because it's broken and we forget about the vertical. The most important relationship you will ever have is your relationship with God. It's absolutely true. And so you've got to make sure that that relationship is whole. Well, Pastor, you don't understand. When I married him, he was a project and I am working hard on my project. I see so much potential in him. Yeah, he's cheated on me 4 times. And yeah, he makes me pay for everything. But I just see one day, Pastor. How many of y'all know you choose stock on potential, but you choose a future spouse on their patterns? I'm telling you, I came today on a mission. We got to make sure that we focus on God and making sure that's right, instead of trying to fix everybody else, let's focus on our relationship with God, and everything else will begin to fall into place. Like, you got to get that vertical relationship right first. Now, one of the things that will help get the vertical relationship with God right is understanding who God is. Like you need to know, like who he is. What's he's like, not what songs say or culture says, but what does God say about himself? In John, 3 words, incredible sentence in the Bible. What's he say? God is love. Meaning that love is not something God does, it's who God is. It's his character, it's his nature, it's his identity. But that still is probably, that's probably a problem for some of you, because the word love in our English language, like, it's too broad, right? Like, would you not agree with me that we overuse the word love in our culture? Like you love your spouse, you love your kids, you love your dog, you love your fish, you love that pizza you had last night, you love that celebrity that doesn't love you back, you love your alma mater. Can I tell you something? The only reason your alma mater loves you is because you paid them $100,000. Just letting you know, okay? Like, you a number, you a statistic to them. And so we overuse, and I'm in there too, we overuse the word love. Now, that's a problem in our English language, but the Bible wasn't written in English. In fact, most of the New Testament was written in Greek, not all of it. It's a little Aramaic in there. But all of 1 John was written in Greek originally. And in the Greek language, in fact, many of you know this, but some don't, but in the Greek language, there's not just one word for love. There's a lot of different words for love. It's important that we know this. That way we can identify what type of love John is talking about when he says God is love. And there's a lot of different words for love in the Greek language. I'm just going to give you 3. And the third one will be the one that John is using here. But I still think it's important just to understand this. So if you're taking notes, write this down. One type of love in the Greek is phileo. Phileo. And this is brotherly love. It's where Philadelphia gets its name, which is super ironic because people in Philadelphia are not known for being so kind, right? But still, phileo, brotherly love. And this is a friendship type of love. Now, not everybody has this kind of relationship, but some of you do, and it's a powerful one. But this is you having a relationship with someone who is not family, but they feel like they're family. You know what I'm talking about? Like, that's just awesome. Like, physiologically, biologically, like, They're not your brother, not your sister, but you feel like your family. You're there for each other. You love one another. In fact, that's my dream for you in this church. Not that you just come and warm a seat for an hour and 5 minutes, but you come and you form relationships with them. That's why connect groups are so important, why serving on a team is so important, that you would do life with each other, that you would know each other, that you would find those phileo relationships, that friendship, deep level of love. Another type of love in the Greek is eros love, and this is romantic or erotic love. Some of y'all just got real nervous, but it's one of the Greek words for love. And so this is fun in first service because my wife was here and I just like to kind of like just get her a little bit and make her uncomfortable, but I'll still say it here. But like, this is me looking at my wife saying, holla at your boy. This is me looking at Isabel, babe, I love you and we're going to show our love tonight. You know, like too much, Ryan. I get it, but like we're married. It's cool, you know. But you're like, no, it's still not. Yeah, it is actually. But anyways, but this is that passion love. This is your honeymoon night, like our honeymoon love. This is wedding night kind of love. This is like for us, 10-year anniversary kind of love. Like that's what it is. It's that passion, that feeling, that strong emotion. It's actually one of the Greek words for love. And then you have the third one. There's more. I'm just giving you three. And this is the one that John is talking about. This is the original language. God is love. He's saying God is agape. Agape. Now, agape love is different from all the others because this kind of love is unconditional love. This will preach right here. It's so, so important that you get this. So what this means is not just what God does. Remember who he is, that God is agape. God is, it's his identity, unconditional love, meaning that there are no conditions, meaning that it doesn't matter what you say or what you do, God is agape for you. God is unconditional love. So take this down, like again, this is really important theology, you get this, like take this down the road with me for a moment. This means that theoretically, for God to no longer love us, God would have to go against his very nature. This means that if God would stop loving you, and I get it, we've got faults and failures, insecurity, I get all that stuff. But for God to stop loving us would be for God to stop being who he is. And he can't do that. God is agape. Remember, it's not what he does, it's who he is, it's his identity. And so I just gotta tell you, like I gotta put you on alert today. God is not up in heaven having an identity crisis right now. Like he knows who he is. He's not pacing back and forth like, oh my me. I cannot believe that they aren't following me anymore. Should I love them? God's not pacing back and forth like, oh my me. They're so mean to me on social media. Should I love them still? God's not pacing back and forth like they keep living for me and not living for me. I don't know if I should love them anymore. That's not God. God is not having an identity crisis. He knows who he is. I wonder, do you know who he is? God is agape. He can't love you any more or any less. He loves you perfectly. It's not just something he does. It's who he is. And that should encourage you like no else. There's nothing you can do to earn it. Nothing you can do to deserve it. That whether you even like it or not, whether you even believe it or not, God is agape. God is unconditional love. And so when we understand who God is, not what people say in culture, what God says about himself, who God is, then we can get the vertical relationship right. When we understand he's not mad at us, that he loves us, when we understand that God loves to give us second chances, that God is for us, not against us, that even while we were sinners, God loved us. Like when we understand all of that, we can get the vertical relationship right. I'll say it to you this way. I was thinking about this. It was in first service, the worship set. I'll say it to you this way. I can love my wife, Isabel, more if I love God most. Think about it. If I can fall more in love, more devoted, more committed to God, the vertical relationship, I can actually love you better, the church.
and we get it twisted. We get it backwards. Well, I got to work here horizontal. No, no, no. God's like, get this vertical relationship right, and then everything will fall into place. Here's what I mean. When I realize how much I've been forgiven by God, it makes it easier for me to forgive someone else. When I realize how much I've been blessed by God, that he doesn't owe me anything. He gave his very, he paid the highest price for my sins on the cross. When I realize how blessed I am, I can't help but bless other people. When I realize how much I've been comforted by the Holy Spirit, I can't help but be a comfort for someone else. Y'all with me, church? We've got to make sure that we understand the vertical, that we understand who God is, that we get that relationship right, and everything else begins to fall into place. Here's a third one. I saved the best for last. Number three, we are not initiators. We are responders. I'm telling you, God's going to do something right now. Don't you miss it. This is not just another Sunday. We are not initiators, John tells us, being inspired by the Holy Spirit. We are responders. John makes it clear that God is the one who initiated love for us. Like, this is a game changer. What's John say exactly? He says, God loved us first. First. Before you started coming to church, before you started serving, before you even got saved, God loved you and me first. God initiated, and it's up to us to respond to him or not. And you know, this got me thinking about my relationship with my wife. It was 11 years ago that you better believe I initiated love for her. Like, I went after her. She didn't respond, like, or she didn't respond at first, but how many of y'all know sometimes you just gotta wear them down a little bit, right? But like, I initiated several times. Some of you know our story. And by the way, ladies, the guy should initiate. Just letting you know. He should, like, you don't have to run after him. Just let him come to you, okay? I know that's tough, but that's how it works best. And so I remember 11 years ago and just initiating, going after, not my wife at the time, of course, but Isabel, just going after her. And she's from Nevada, and I'm from the land of the Lord, Texas, right? And so, just gotta be honest, Texas is awesome. And so dating, we dated long distance. And so our first date was on the phone. We had a phone date. And it wasn't even video. We eventually did the Skype thing, but like, we had a phone date. And I remember how excited I was. Like, I was ready for that phone. Y'all know your pastor, right? Y'all know I'm type A to the max. And so I had a list of questions to ask Isabel during our phone. That shocks none of you. I get it. It was probably even color coordinated, organized, you know, it's who I am. So I'm ready for this date. And we had scheduled this date. Like, she had told me. She told me she was ready. She could be available during the time frame that we had the date. And so I call Isabel. And I'm like, hey, babe. No, I didn't do that. But, like, I called her. And I could tell right away that she was not one to talk to me. And I'm thinking in my mind, you told me this was a good time for you. Like, you told me that. I didn't say that. I'm thinking that. And so it goes on for a little bit. She's just kind of giving me like this, you know, kind of like if you got a teenager and you're asking how their day was, fine. You know, like that's the kind of responses I was getting. And so I eventually just ask her, like, hey, I thought we had scheduled this. I thought you wanted to talk to me. Are you not free? Are you busy? There's a couple moments that go by. How many of y'all know, like, in that moment, those moments felt like minutes. Here's what she says to me. She'll correct me next week, you know, when she's up here. But like, this really happened. Like, next, she tells me this. Well, I actually can't talk right now because I'm helping my parents remove wallpaper from their bedroom. I want to tell you what I thought, but I can't tell you. Like, this is church, you know. And I was even a pastor then. I was like, oh, Lord. Like, y'all watched some remodel shows probably on HGTV? Like I never remember one of the shows, you know, one of the guys or girls that's like running the show. I never heard them say, you know what? When you start removing wallpaper, you better do it till it's done. If you don't do it till it's done, it's going to ruin the house. I never heard that before. Never. I didn't know it was so pressing. And so, like, she ends up, like, we end the conversation. But what I'm trying to say, like, I initiated. I went after her. That's one example. How much time you got? I went after her over and over again. She didn't always respond. And when it comes to our relationship with God, you need to know today, God, over and over and over again, he has initiated relationship with you. He's going after you. I wonder, are you responding to him? Like, think about our church service. Like, think about what's happened in this service so far. Think about the worship set. Pastor Tony, our team did an incredible job. They do every single week. What was happening? Some of you had it backwards. See, people, they come into a church service and they sing songs, and it's almost like they're trying to get God's attention. God, would you notice me? There's a lot of people. You're probably busy, world hunger, you know, like COVID, but God, I'm here. And so many people come into a church service, and especially a worship set, and they are misinformed. They think they are initiating. And that's not right. When we come into a worship service and we lift up hands and we sing out loud, we are not trying to get God's attention. We are not trying to get God's favor. We are responding to who God is and what he's already done. Do you see the difference? It's not notice me. Oh, you know, I raised my hands this week, God. Would you give me an extra blessing? You know, that's not what it is. We are not initiating, we are responding. That's what John is teaching us here. God loved us first. Think about this message. When you're leaning in and you're engaged in the message, you're taking notes and you're actually opening the Bible and you're digging through, and better than any of that, you're saying, God, like, how can I apply this to my life? You are not initiating. You are responding to what God has already said in his word. It changes things, right? It changes your mindset. It changes your heart. That it's not like, God, well, I came to church today. What you going to do for me now? God's like, I've already done everything. It's up to you to respond. I think about at the end of the service, and we're almost done. There's going to be people that join my family and our staff and our elders, and you're going to give financially. You're going to tithe and to support the local church. And we always talk about all these big things. Yeah, it keeps the lights on, pays the bills. Like, let's just be honest about that. But not just that, all the stuff that we do in missions and all, like, yeah, that's a part of it. But it's really not about that. People who get it, they understand that when you give even a penny to God, it's not you tipping God. It's not you trying to bribe God for a blessing back. Well, I really want that promotion, so I'm going to tithe this week. You did not initiate. So people, there's so many of you that get it. People, when you come to give anything to God, this is not you initiating, this is you responding. You're saying to God, God, you have blessed me so much. You have done so much in my life. I can't help but respond and give to you today. That's the difference. You're not trying to tip God. Well, the sermon was great today, so I'm going to give a little bit. No, that's wrong. That's backwards. We don't believe in prosperity gospel around here. Why? Because it's not biblical. When you look at men and women of faith, when they obeyed God, a lot of times their life got harder, not easier. Now, we have heaven, our blessed hope, right? Jesus' second coming. Like, we've got that, of course. But, like, we don't give to get. Can I get amen from somebody? Like, we don't do that. We're like, God, you've already done this. Think about our dream teamers, our volunteers. We got people before the first service showing up at 8 o'clock on one of their days off. Volunteers, they are not on payroll. Like, are you paid to greet? No, they're not. And they're serving today gladly. Not for a paycheck, not for a blessing back. They're serving today, not to God, I can make you happy. No. They're serving today because God has already served them. They're like, God, if you can do this for me, I can't help but do this for others. So we got people that greet and make sure there's tissues underneath the seats and making sure that your kids are ministered to. We don't do child care on Sunday mornings around here. It is children's ministry. We got people that show up during the week and they fold those worship guides together and they cut the connection cards out. We got our worship team, people in the booth, people pouring coffee, the prayer teams. Oh, and we got so many people. We got somebody right now in another room live translating this to Spanish. We got so much stuff that happens before service, during service, and after service. And it's all people saying, God, you have already served me. I can't help but serve someone else. You've done so much in my life. Do you see how it changes things? It changes things. God initiated love. I wonder, have you responded to his love? No, prove yourself. Do this for me, God. That's not the right attitude. That's not the right heart. Truth is, if God doesn't do one more thing for us, he's already done enough. He paid the ultimate price so that we could be forgiven of our sins. He died in our place. Now it's up to us if we respond to him or not. Not out of guilt, not because we have to, but because we want to. Because he's that good. He's that awesome. God is agape. God is love. Why don't you bow your heads with me, close your eyes. God, I pray right now. God, I feel this in this second service. God, you're having to penetrate through some hardened hearts, and I pray you do that right now. Some of us, we've been in church almost our whole lives, and it's turned from a get-to thing to a have-to thing. And no longer is it a joy because we're doing it out of guilt or obligation. I pray, God, you take us back to our first love. I pray, God, we would realize that in a church service, it's not us initiating, not us trying to convince you, not us trying to trick you or manipulate you. No. In a church service, we're called to respond to what you've already done, what you've already said. You are so good. I pray, God, that we would realize that the issues that we have in relationships, maybe it's a marriage, maybe it's with your children, or maybe your children are adults now and they've got kids on their own, but there's a strained relationship. God, I pray we realize today that it's not just about getting the horizontal right, but we've got to get the vertical right, our relationship with you. And we understand who you are, that you are love, unconditional love. When we understand what you've done for us already, once we get that vertical right, then all the horizontal stuff begins to be made complete and whole. Take up the broken pieces and you mend them back together. But it starts with our vertical relationship. May we not look as that person as the problem, but you, Jesus, as the solution. I pray, God, especially for those that are single or single again in this service, I pray, God, that they would realize that there is no man, no woman that was ever meant to complete them. They are complete in you. It's not one half person or half full person walking around until they find their quote-unquote soulmate. It's not like that. That sounds good in a movie or a song, but it's not true. I pray, God, they would realize that they can be whole now. Not just then, but now in you. I pray, God, they would realize how much you care and how much you love. It's not just what you do, it's who you are. And I pray, lastly, for anybody underneath the sound of my voice that's far from you, I pray today they would like give you back the ultimate response, which is to give their life to you. That they put their faith and trust in you, Jesus. Come on, you can do that right now. Eyes closed, please, just honoring this holy moment. God, I pray right now for anybody that's far from you. They realize in this moment you have initiated, you've already done enough, you already love them, but it's up to them. Are they going to respond to you or not? And I pray, God, that you give them the faith and the encouragement to do that right now. It's the best decision they could ever make, to respond to you. You can do that right now, eyes closed, head bowed. You can do that right now. You can whisper to Jesus. I'll coach you on things that you can say to him. But it's all about the intent. And God, you're doing something right now. Thank you. I can sense you moving. Thank you, Lord. You can whisper this to him. Jesus, I understand who you are and what you've done. God, you are agape, unconditional love. So today, I respond to your love. Come on, you can whisper to him. Not a big scene, just you and the Lord right now. God, I respond to your love.
You've already chosen me. Now I choose you. Jesus, it's so important that you tell him this. Jesus, I believe that you are God. I believe that you died on the cross. I believe that you rose from the dead. And so I ask you, this is the most important question you could ever ask him. Lord, I ask you to forgive me of my sin, to make me new, to make me complete, to make me whole, to heal me from the inside out. I ask you to forgive me of all my sin. God, I pray that you'd knock down any walls in my heart. I pray you'd soften my heart. I respond to you today. Thank you, God, for those that are responding. Thank you, God, that as we get fresh revelation from you of who you are and what you've already done, it changes everything. We give you glory and we give you honor. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you made a decision for Jesus Christ or if your life has been impacted in any way, please send us an email at info@christcov.net. We would love to hear your story. And for those that committed your life to Christ, we want to help you on your new journey by sending our free Start Bible Kit in the mail. If you'd like to partner with us financially, simply click on the Give tab at christcov.net. There it will take you to a safe and secure page where you can set up a one-time or recurring gift to help us accomplish our vision, heaven full and hell empty. And as always, you can find out more about Christ Covenant on our website or on Facebook or Instagram at Christ Cove Houston.